This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Let's do this thing.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
I'm not familiar with rap. Give me Hendrix any day and I'll go from there.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups winning in overtime!
The Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up! It is right down the boulevard! And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what!
College football and college basketball.
Eight to shoot, Hall, the runner! Loose ball! It's good! The slipper still fits!
And everything else happening in the sports world.
And the Bullpups walking off here at McPherson Stadium! Oh, this place is going crazy!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, According to Jim, here on 96.7 FM KBBE or online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. Another fun day to talk about Bullpup basketball, especially after a win last night at Abilene. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me, as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Steve Sell. Steve, we had a long night last night, but it didn't turn out to be too bad with both Bullpup teams picking up wins on the road at Abilene and both of them improving to 3-1 on the year.
Yeah, never an easy place to win at Abilene. They've redone their gymnasium. It's much nicer than what we're used
setup.
To. The only thing that hadn't changed was the band still very loud.
Oh, man, my ears are still
the
ringing.
Concrete jungle. I mean, there is the reverberation that place is just unbelievable. And like Coach Kinnaman said to us after the game, man, how loud would it be if this was our home gym with our fans? My goodness. I mean, what a home court advantage it could be. But the girls' game, the Bullpups got off to a bit of a slow start. It looked like a bit of a Miege hangover. But, boy, once Cassie Cooks got cooking there in the second quarter, she really ignited the Bullpups. And then Taylor Robertson, after a slow start, picked it up, had her usual.
Just a cool 23.
Yeah, just her usual 23 last night. Abilene, I'll be honest, was better than I thought they'd be.
Yeah.
They came out and played very well early, but I kept saying during the broadcast, the Bullpups' pressure at some point is just going to basically take over the game, and it did. Second quarter, Abilene didn't score a point, went 0-12 from the field. Bullpups took care of that. Then in the boys' game, McPherson was just sensational from the opening tip. Mason Alexander kind of set the tone. He had 8 points about 2 minutes into the game, hit 5 threes, 26 points. Ben Pyle did a little bit of everything last night, 17, but his passing was really tremendous. And, of course, we mentioned it after the game, Western Illinois, their coach was there to see Ben play.
They had two coaches there.
Yeah, and Ben signed to play next year at Western Illinois. They had to like what they saw, the versatility that he showed. You know, he's a scorer for us, but, you know, at the college game, I think he's going to be a great assist guy. You know, he's 6'8". Don't be surprised if they play him some at the point because he can handle the ball so well. Had a couple of great dunks. Jake Alexander, again, the benefactor of some great passing. He gets so many good looks, but I like that he started to take the ball, the basket more, finished some shots at the rim. Drew Labertu, Thomas Diggs did their usual thing, did all the dirty work. And Cody Stufflebean, we keep talking about Cody Stufflebean. It just seems like every game he's getting better. He's almost like a sixth starter. I mean, he could start for anybody that we play. He just happens to be on the Bullpups, who are loaded at every position. But Cody Stufflebean, for anybody else, would probably average a double-double.
It was the Alexander show pretty early on in that game. I remember coming out of a timeout, the Bullpups led like 22 or 24-6. And the Alexanders had scored all but two of those points as Mason had knocked down a couple of threes. Jake had knocked down one. Jace Alexander had come in and hit a three. So it was the Alexanders versus Abilene last night, and my money would always be on the Alexanders in a 3-on-5.
Yeah.
And Max got into the game, a fourth Alexander.
Yeah, fourth Alexander. So four out of the 12 that suited up were Alexanders. And then, of course, Ben started slow and then picked it up. It was just a great team victory. Coach Kinnaman really got to use his bench in the second half. You know, he's got to bring those guys along. When you start four seniors and you basically play half your team is seniors, you still got to find spots to get guys like Hoover and Kinnaman and, you know, Max Alexander.
Aaron Trost.
You got to get those guys in the game because you got to get them some minutes. You got as much as you got one eye on the prize in March, you also got one eye looking at next year because the Bullpups are going to get really socked by graduation. Jake Alexander, of course, will be the top returning scorer coming back, but the lineup after Jake's going to be brand new other than him. So Coach Kinnaman definitely coaching with one eye toward this season and also looking ahead to next year.
So both teams are now 3-1 on the season, and they will both take on Winfield at home here on Friday night. It's a Wall of Fame night, so it should be a fun night for both teams. They both have two games remaining in the winter semester, or the first semester of the basketball schedule, and then January. Oh boy, Steve, I hope you don't have any big plans for January, because I think that we have about 16 days that we have basketball games. Now, we love it, and that makes it exciting, but January is just jam-packed with basketball.
Well, it is the month, of course, the mid-season tournaments. You know, the boys play first.
Well, plus they start playing games on the second.
Yeah. In fact, we come back, I believe, with Bueller. I'm not sure if that's a home game or road
game. It's at home.
It's at home, okay. Bueller at home. What a way to welcome in the new year. That boys game will be fantastic. McPherson will probably dominate that girls game. Bueller, not very good on the girls side. But that boys game will be a great one to start the second semester, or the January portion of the schedule. But when you look ahead to the two tournaments, both tournaments are, you know, I think half the field in both of them have ranked teams. I think four of the eight teams in both the McPherson Invitational, the Mid-America Classic, there's ranked teams. So there's going to be plenty of great teams, especially you looking at girls. Manhattan started the year number one in 6A. Olathe South has never lost a game in this tournament.
Now, Steve, let me interrupt you right there. If the Bullpup girls play Olathe South in this tournament, I haven't really declared my allegiance and my rivalry with them on this show, but I grew up and went to Olathe East, and there is no greater rivalry than those two teams. So if the Bullpups are taking on Olathe South here, oh, it will feel good, and I will be cheering. So I'm normally pretty
down the
unbiased,
middle. Right?
But if the Olathe South Falcons walk into this gym and they are playing the Bullpups, you can bet I will be screaming after every single bucket.
Well, we had a great championship game last year, Manhattan, Olathe South, and Olathe South did win that game. They've never lost a game in this tournament. Manhattan, of course, has Christiana Carr, one of the top recruits in the country, is already signed with K-State. Her dad is on the K-State staff there. And then the boys' tournament, the Derby boys are going to be back. And, you know, they lost their first two. They got beat at the buzzer after they lost to us. But I got a feeling by the time they come back in January, they're going to have things all figured out. And then you have the usual other really good schools. I think Bishop Carroll, if I remember right.
Shawnee Mission East
is always, Sean Hare's team's always good. Wichita North, you know, they'll have good athletes. So, but that's a long ways away. We've got a lot of basketball between now and then when we have the tournaments in the second or the third and fourth week of January.
As my old partner Tom Hedrick used to say, and I'll change the phrasing up a little bit, he would refer to two other teams. But if the Olathe South Falcons were taking on the Soviets, you could bet that I would be standing over there with Vladimir Putin and all those guys cheering for them. I would. He always says it with the Missouri Tigers are playing the Soviets, and
right.
He said I'll be over there cheering and yelling, "Go Big Red!"
Well, Roger Trimble used to always say the thing when he. Same thing when he played Bethany, but I think he used the Saudis, maybe. I don't know. But rivalries are great things. And, of course, the Invitational, we'll have great crowds for those games. And can't wait. But, boy, we got at least, I think the boys have at least three or four games before the tournament. And then the girls, the same number. Of course, I think the girls play Newton. If I remember right, I think the girls play Newton before the week of the boys' tournament
right. At
Newton, and that'll be a great game, Newton in the top five and 5A. And then during the girls' tournament, the boys play down at Newton on, I think it's on Tuesday.
They get the tough break, though, because they'll play three really tough games in the tournament and then turn around on that Tuesday and play, while the girls, they won't play at all the weekend of the boys' tournament, and then they get to reload.
That, you know, one year McPherson played Shawnee Mission East, which was number two in the state, undefeated at the time. We beat Shawnee Mission East, and then we go down the Circle, and Circle was like 1-9 or 0-9. I can't remember. They might have won one game. and we lost a circle. I'll never forget that. Coach Kinnaman actually said that game made him, he took the blame for that. He says, I really didn't prepare like I normally do for a game. I just assumed the way we were playing, no matter what Circle did, we were so much more talented, we'd beat Circle. He has never taken another opponent for granted since then.
At least it was a good lesson there. Yeah, I was around a couple of really good Shawnee Mission East teams, and they really started to pick it up around the time I was in high school, and I believe it was my senior year that they made a run at the state championship, but they ended up losing to Blue Valley North, who had rattled off two or three in a row. I think they won last year at 6A. So we are excited about that tournament. It's still about a month away, and then the girls' tournament will come into town. Yeah, you mentioned that these two teams will play Winfield on Friday, Andover on Tuesday, and then I believe that they'll have four games before the week of the boys' tournament. So they come back,
right.
They'll play Bueller. I know that Circle is going to be mixed in there somewhere, and I think Augusta might be in that first week of games. So, and we were talking with Coach Kinnaman about it last night, that they will have to take some time off. They play Andover on Tuesday of next week, and then from there, they will have about a week and a half, 2 weeks off before they come back and get into basketball mode.
Yeah,
after
I think they don't come back till about the 28th of December after the game on Tuesday. So, you know, the football guys on the team are probably looking forward. They've got to be on tired legs right now because they went right from football to basketball, really didn't get a chance to make the transition. And I think those guys will probably welcome the time off.
And it's funny that you said the football guys. That's what you and I have kind of been calling them. And when I talked with Coach Kinnaman the other day for one of the pregame interviews, he said, you know, you keep calling them the football guys. I think that they're basketball guys that just played football. I think he's right about that somewhere.
Yeah, but, you know, guys like Diggs and Labertu, you know, Jace Kinnaman.
Jace Alexander.
Jace Alexander. Oh, yeah, I can't forget Jace Alexander, first-team All-Stater. But, you know, those guys really did. I know that Jace Kinneman's been experiencing some soreness in his knee. You know, he carried a lot of times in the football season. I know Jace Alexander, that first week that he could practice, he didn't practice the first couple days because, you know, his body just needed a break. So, anyway, a lot of great basketball ahead, and, you know, we'll be looking forward to it, and we'll have all the action on 96.7 KBBFM. And, you know, we really look forward to doing the games because this is going to be a special, special season. I don't think you'll see very, very many losses by either team this year.
So we will talk a little bit more about the Bullpups taking on Winfield on Friday night. We'll do that a little bit more tomorrow. Might hit on it at the end of the show and then get you previewed on Thursday and Friday. But coming up on the other side of the break, Steve and I want to get away from basketball for a minute and dive into baseball, and in particular, the Kansas City Royals, and what the heck has been going on since they stopped playing at the end of September. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
According to Jim here on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening anywhere in the world, online at midkansasonline.com. Jim Joyner and Steve Sell here as we are officially halfway through the week in our middle segment of our Wednesday show. And Steve, we have done a lot of talk about basketball for the last, well, probably about month. And rightfully so, it's basketball season. We are in the midst of it, and that is what our lives consist of right now. But one thing we haven't been able to do much since the end of the baseball season is talk a little bit about the Kansas City Royals and what has been going on with them. And one of the big storylines from last week is that Dayton Moore kind of openly came out and said, everybody is on the table, because they were very happy with the run that they made from 2013 until, well, the
2015.
Actually,
2016, they made a good run. And about half a season. Well, what? They were in the hunt probably till about September 1st last year.
They were happy with that run, but what they want and what they envision in that front office is they want to completely reload and rebuild. Now, that doesn't mean they are going to trade everybody away, but they are having some things like that as an option. And one of the names that was floating around was Danny Duffy, and that the Royals might be saying, hey, if somebody offers enough money and we get some prospects and offer and take his contract off of our hands, then they might be doing it. Same with Salvador Perez. Same with guys like Kelvin Herrera, Joaquin Soria, maybe even a Whit Merrifield, because they want to completely rebuild. And it's hard to imagine that, just 2 years removed from a World Series, but you look at what is probably walking out the door as free agents here in the next month. It is a little bit nerve-wracking for the Royals because they might have nothing at the beginning of this 2018 season.
Well, what's hurt the Royals is they had so many free agents at the same time.
Yeah.
They had six or seven, and you forget about Mike Minor. You know, I thought he was really good out of the bullpen last year. He's already gone. He's already signed with Texas, so you can forget Mike Minor. And I really thought he was a guy they might go after, but you look at the big, you know, the core group. Eric Hosmer, he's probably gone. It sounds like San Diego's in play.
I've heard that name.
San Diego's the team, the Cardinals. There's been some talk of the Cardinals.
Ugh.
And the Red Sox. Those are the teams that you kind of hear about because Scott Boras is trying to do a package deal. He wants Hosmer and who's the other one to go to Boston. The name escapes me now. He's trying to get two of his clients to Boston. So it's one of the other Royals. It's not Moustakas. But anyway, Moustakas, it sounds like San Francisco maybe in play. The Angels were in play, but it sounds like not as much. I've been watching MLB.com, so I'm getting my information kind of from their insiders. As far as the other Royals, you don't hear much about Lorenzo Cain. I've heard the Mets, you know, maybe is a possibility. Haven't heard anything on Jason Vargas, Escobar. Those guys aren't drawing a whole lot of interest. So there's a chance maybe Vargas and Escobar come back since there's, you know, the market's just pretty lukewarm for them. But let's face it, the main guys are Hosmer, Moustakas, and Cain. And I think all three of them are probably gone. But, you talk about the guys on the team. Salvador Perez is probably about as close to an untouchable. I mean, everybody's
they've
in play.
They've thrown his name out there.
I know they've thrown his name out there, but, you know, he's kind of the face of the Royals franchise now. He's kind of the heartbeat of the team. And let's face it, he's probably maybe starting on the downside of his career because catchers, you know, he's taken a beating. He's been back there 7 years. You know, all those foul tips and squatting down.
Not only that, he's 6'4" and 240 pounds.
Yeah, and you know, his on-base percentage is just miserable. So, you know, that kind of scares teams off. But, you know, as far as what he means to Kansas City and the community, I think they would have to be overwhelmed to trade Salvador Perez. Danny Duffy, not so much because, you know, he's been a little erratic off the field. He's had a couple of, you know, the one time he stepped away from the organization for a while to get his kind of head straight.
Oh, that was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, but then last year he had that incident in the drive-in. I can't remember what the drive-in was. But
oh, yeah, he got a little dewy, a little DUI.
Yeah, he was asleep at the wheel, basically. And
I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, he was asleep at the wheel, and, you know, he got arrested. And they have really you know, downplayed that incident, and it's still in continuance, whatever that means. That means the charges are probably going to be dropped, and he's probably going to have to do community service, but he already does community service. So the Royals could have they're going to have just a totally different look in 2018, but it might be a scrappy, hungry team. But again, you got to have some talent at those positions. When you look at the positions,
scrappy team of Billy Burns and Cam Gallagher.
Brandon Moss, maybe at first base. Mondesi, maybe at short. Chesler Cuthbert, I think, could do a good job at third base. And then you mentioned Billy Burns maybe in center field. Soler's going to have to step up. I mean, they traded Wade Davis for Jorge Soler, and he got an F on my report card after the season because he just never did. You know, he came in hurt. He was overweight, never made any impression. But then he went down to Omaha in about half a year at about 23 home runs or something like that. So, you know, you got the power there. So you got Gordon, you got maybe Bonifacio, You got Soler. You got Billy Burns. They signed Terrence Gore to a minor league deal. Never mind that pitchers knocked the bat out of his hands because he still has never learned to hit in all those years in the organization. But he's got that Tyreek Hill type speed that the Royals love. And then, you know, Whit Merrifield, again, I'm going to be honest. I think he's a one-year wonder. I think he had a great year last year. I don't think he can do that again. I think he was just at the top of his game. I think he's a little more mediocre or pedestrian than that. But, you know, he's solid at second base. And then if Escobar comes back, you know, maybe Mondesi is an outfielder. And, you know, there's a lot of different things they can do. They've got to add some pieces on the offseason. They can't afford to stand pat with all the players they're going to lose.
I read a lot of Baseball Reference, and anytime I need to find out any information, that's usually the source that I go to. It is such a good website for baseball fans. And when it comes to their 2018 projections for the Kansas City Royals, it's rough.
Rough.
And I think that we talked about some of the early power rankings for the MLB, had the Royals as 29th out of 30. I've seen a lot of things that show that they have the worst team coming back, number 30 out of 30
in
the
MLB. And their
farm
system is depleted.
The farm system is not good, and that is what has sparked this need to rebuild and reload, because if the 2018 batting projections that Baseball Reference has posted, well, they're going to look a whole lot like the 2004 Kansas City Royals this
year.
Well,
and again, Dayton Moore made the decision back in July. He thought this team had one more big run in them because they played
well,
such—
They
played such erratic baseball last year at times. I mean, there was a time they were one game back at Cleveland, and next time you look up, they're 17 games back. Of course, Cleveland had that, 22-game winning streak. That's going to open up the lead. But when you look at that division, though, what a rebuild the division's in. The White Sox are in a rebuild. The Tigers are in a rebuild.
The White Sox have been in a rebuild for
Minnesota,
6 years.
Minnesota is the second-best team in Cleveland. I mean, right now, it's just like Cleveland's way up in a different class. But they've got some free agents, too, that they've got to re-sign. Carlos Santana, man, the way that guy hits at Royal Stadium. If they lose Hosmer, what a great replacement he would be. You could throw he'd probably hit 400 for the year because he hits about 560 at Kauffman Stadium in his career.
He had a weekend where he came in and hit about 7 home runs, and I can remember the next day I was listening to the Royals radio network, and Denny Matthews came on the air and said, well, luckily for the Royals, Carlos Santana is in a different area code at this point, so the Royals don't have to pitch to him.
Yeah.
Denny.
Yeah, Denny's the guy. But you know, it seems like when the Royals, say if they'd get a Santana, for whatever reason, when they come to Kansas City, they don't perform like they did at the other places. It just seems like their free agent signings don't work very often. It's the guys they've traded for that have panned out a lot better than their free agent signings. I still go back to the Mark Davis signing. I remember way back, I can't remember, I think it was late 1990s or early 2000s. Mark Davis led the National League. He was with the Padres, had like 48 saves for the Padres. He gets to Kansas City. They got a lead on opening day. Davis comes in. Well, we're going to win on opening day. Blows it. The guy ends up within about a year and a half, he's gone. You know, he cost him an arm and a leg and never did pan out. And they've had some other free agents
also. Do you
also
remember Gil Mesh?
Oh, yeah. Heck, he ended up giving his last year his salary back. He goes, God, I'm so bad. I feel bad. I feel like I'm stealing.
I'm sorry, Royals.
I'm stealing your money. I'm giving you back $11 million. They called him. He wore number 55 because he had a $55 million contract over 5 years at $11 million a year. And by about the third year, the Royals, I think, were calling him number 00 because they figured that's about how much money he'd actually earned as a pitcher in their rotation.
Yeah, those were some dark days for the Kansas City Royals, and I have just I have been hoping for the last 2 years that I don't have to go back into that hole. And by the looks of some things that might happen in the next month or two, it might be a rough season.
They could still make some moves and put a very competitive team on the field. I just don't think they've got the depth that they've had. You lose 7 guys to free agents. I'd still like them to see Melky Cabrera come back like on a one year $8 million deal, because he is a professional hitter. You could just put him in at DH, let him play 162 games, get 550 at bats, and I'll guarantee you he'd hit about 280 with about 17 homers and about 80 RBIs.
The Melk Man.
Oh, like him.
All right, on the other side of According to Jim, we wrap up the show and we continue to talk a little bit about Bullpup basketball as they will welcome in the Winfield Vikings on Friday night at the Roundhouse. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim here on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. And you can always download and listen to the show on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. Steve, a lot to keep on our minds and our agendas this week. Not only do the Chiefs play on Saturday night this week against the LA Chargers in a battle for probably the AFC West division title, as well as Bullpup basketball on Friday night. We also have Bullpup wrestling going to Bueller on Thursday. They have been red hot, and another big rivalry matchup there.
Yeah, Bullpup's 9-1 so far in duels, and of course, going to Bueller last year's match. I'll never forget that. Ethan Grinnan gets a pin in the final match of the night. The Bullpups go from 3 down to 3 up. Win that match, and anytime it's McPherson Bueller, you know, emotion will be high. This time it's at Bueller. That's a 6 o'clock start down in Bueller. Bullpup's a great dual team. 9-1 in duels so far this year. I think the new KWCA rankings were supposed to be out at some point today. I haven't seen them yet, but Bullpups were number 9 in the first rankings, and that was actually before there had even been any matches. So they haven't come out with a ranking since the actual matches have started. And being 9-1 and beating Tonganoxie, which was the number 3 team.
The Chieftains.
Yeah, the Chieftains were number 3 during the preseason. The Bullpups handled them out at Colby. So got to think the Bullpups might pull an Arizona State and rocket up the rankings.
Too soon.
Yeah. So, but Coach Kretzer, again, doing a great job. So Bullpup fans, if you want to make that short trip tomorrow night to Bueller, 6 o'clock start. And I think the Bullpup's got a great shot to win again against Bueller.
Before we went to Bishop Miege last week, I was taking a look at all of the 4A1 and 4A2 schools on the east side of the state. And I didn't bring it up last week, but I thought about it now. I've covered a high school game at almost every single school on the east side. And I would think that you've probably covered a high school game at about every school on the west side of 4A and 5A. I think if you put us two together, we've been about everywhere.
Yeah,
I like Tonganoxie. We called a football game there on that was back in the old 4A days where you would play the Tuesday and Saturday games in the playoffs the first week.
Mm-hmm.
The old Baldwin High Bulldogs went up to Tonganoxie. Tongi drove down the field, and we were outside broadcasting the game.
Oof.
And their place is going nuts. But the old Baldwin High Bulldogs, they were able to come back and get a nice win.
Yeah.
I like Tonganoxie. It's a cool town.
Yeah, and I worked with a woman whose dad was is the girls' basketball coach at Tongi, so that's how I got to kind of know Tongi. But anyway, yeah, we've seen about everybody in the state, especially, you know, football especially. We saw
you make your rounds.
We make the rounds, and we do keep our finger on the pulse, and we know most of the schools, that's for sure, and we know who's good in 4A Division I for basketball as well. When you look at the KBCA rankings, and the more I look at it, the more it just looks like McPherson and Miege on both boys and girls have kind of separated themselves a little bit. I mean, when you look on the girls, I think Circle's up there in the top 5. We're going to see Circle right after Christmas, one of the games after Christmas, and we handled them quite easily last year. So I think McPherson is really the power in the West, both boys and girls, and then Miege is the power in the East.
So for the rest of the week, we will talk a little bit about Bullpup basketball going and playing Winfield at home on Friday night, and I will get the rundown on the Winfield Vikings probably later tonight from their boys coach Connor Bouchard, a good friend of mine, and so we'll talk a little bit about that team tomorrow and get you ready for not only the Friday game, but then the Tuesday game next week against Andover. So a lot still to come this week on the show, and You will not want to miss anything, and you can always go back and listen on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports. He is a huge fan of the podcast.
I think he is. I'm pretty sure because, you know, the report says he watches about, 8 hours of TV a day, so he always squeezes.
8 hours of CNN and then 30 minutes of According to
there
Jim.
There you go.
That's
there you
the
go.
Way it should be.
There
for
you
Steve
go.
Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Meade Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.